James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now I want to take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. The Apostle Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I want to read verse 15 one more time. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I want to preach a simple message entitled, The Spirit of Adoption. The Spirit of Adoption. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. God, for being our protector, for being our provider. God, for parenting us, oh God, that when others abandoned us, oh Lord Jesus, you console us, you comfort us, you help us, oh God. You raise us up, oh God, out of the lowest dunghill, and you set us upon the mountaintops through your love and through your presence. And we pray right today that, Lord, the Spirit of Adoption would grip the church. The Spirit of Adoption would grip, oh God, the listeners, and that people be convicted, that they would give themselves over to you, and that they'd acknowledge you as being their Heavenly Father. Lord, we worship you, we honor you, and we bless you, and in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Testing, there we go. All right. The first verse I read to you, James chapter 1, 27, I think is a very intriguing verse. The Apostle James is one of those kind of straight talker preachers. He just kind of lays it out and tells you like it is. And in the previous verses, he was talking about obeying the Word of God, not just being a hearer of the Word, but being a doer of the Word and looking to the perfect law of liberty and having a sincere faith in Christ. He then begins to explain what pure religion is, what really good religion is. There's a bad type of religion which is legalistic and puts people in bondage to codes of morality but do not actually do any effect to the soul. And then there is a religion that is about right relationship, about right standing with God. And James, he talks about having pure religion. And I think it's very intriguing that the criteria that he gives to describe what pure, sincere, biblical religion is firstly to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and the second to remain untainted by the world's sins. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to deal with the second portion of this verse. I'm going to deal primarily with the first, as it is Father's Day, and that is to visit the fatherless in their affliction. My question that I ask today is, why does the Bible use ministering to the fatherless and the widows as a metric for determining pure religion? Why is that, of all the things that God has that we see in the Scripture, why did he use that as a way of determining whether or not someone is really walking in pure religion, in pure right standing with God? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, in answering this question, the Bible says, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. We find that in the Torah, in the laws of Moses, that God gave laws concerning particularly this group of people, being those that were fatherless and those that were widows. And the reason why is because the fatherless were some of the most vulnerable and most helpless people within society. If you grew up particularly in the ancient world, and I would even say even to the modern world, if you grew up particularly though in the ancient world, it was a patriarchal society where women and children had few rights or privileges, leaving few opportunities for self-sustenance. Secondly, that they were people that were fatherless were often impoverished because the man was the one who was the breadwinner. He was the one that handled the property. He was the one that did business. And when you were fatherless, you did not have a means of gaining financial support. So people that were fatherless were often impoverished and lacking food and were lacking money. They also, because of that impoverishment, impoverishment, they often, the fatherless, would sell themselves into slavery to try and find someone who might take care of them or to even pay off the debts that were accrued during their father's lifetime that he was unable to pay off. And because of all of these different things, the fatherless were often victimized and they were defenseless, losing their land and their inheritance because they had not a father to teach them and to train them how to operate in society and to provide for them and protect them. So God then says, out of all the groups of people who are in need of love, who are in need of support in demonstrating what my character and my nature is, it is the fatherless. It is because of these realities that the fatherless are in need of a defender. And God champions himself as being the primary defender and provider of the fatherless. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." And don't let that word judgment mislead you. It's not that God is judging the fatherless and the widows, but he is standing as an advocate, as one that is defending them in judgments concerning their property, concerning their livelihoods. That God is a judge, he is a defender, and he's a protector of the fatherless. He is the one that has a special interest in them because they are of all people, of all groups of people, are the ones that are in the most need of someone to nurture them and display and to manifest his goodness and his love. They are an opportunity to express his character as being a heavenly father. Now, I want to answer the next question, which is this: what does it mean to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction? To answer that question, I want to look at a couple examples of where there was a fatherless fatherless person and a widow that was in a dire situation. They were being afflicted, and someone came to visit them in their affliction. If we're going to answer the question to understand what pure religion looks like, we need to understand what it means to visit the fatherless. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And as you're turning there, I want to give some context here. That the prophet Elijah has just come on the scene. The nation of Israel has been wholly taken over by idolatry due to the leadership of King Ahab and his wife Queen Jezebel. And the whole nation has come over to Baal worship. Because of this, the prophet Elijah was dispatched to pronounce judgment against the nation of Israel. And he pronounced and said that from this point forward, there will be no more rain upon the land. So for 3.5 years, there was no rain that was on the land, and the land was dried up. There was no crops. There was no food. There was no water. The whole nation was in dire straits. It would be even worse to be a fatherless person because you had no one else to defend you or to sustain you during this particular circumstance. Now, Elijah has been by the river eating by the food of the ravens, and Elijah has now been dispatched to a widow who has a son. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee." So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful." Now look at this. "But I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." The widow and the fatherless son were on the brink of starvation. They had no source of sustenance, no source to survive. And then the man of God comes and he visits someone who is fatherless. Now look what it says in verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So what sustained them, what was the answer in their affliction, was that there was a barrel of meal, but particularly that there was a cruse of oil. And these two things sustained them during this affliction. This is what kept this fatherless child through a drought, through a famine of 3.5 years, where there was no rain. There was a cruse of oil that sustained, that came from the man of God. Now I want to look at another example here. I'm going somewhere this. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now I'm going to tie this together. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Here we have another story of a widow and two fatherless sons that were in dire straits. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." These two sons were fathers. They had no one to pay the creditor. So the only way to deal with their debt was to sell themselves into slavery. Verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Notice here, oil. It was a pot of oil during this affliction. "Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and the children on the rest." These two fatherless children were about to be sold into slavery because their father was no longer there to pay the debts. They were visited by Elisha, which means God is salvation. And this one Elisha told them that you have to get a vessel full of oil, and that oil will pay off your debt. Their deliverance came through a vessel of oil that would pay off their debt and get them out of slavery. With that understanding now, let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, "Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." The word "visit" there in the Greek, I'm not going to try and pronounce it. I might start speaking in tongues if I do, but it means to look upon, to investigate, to check on, to make sure that one is benefited, that one is okay. That God says that to visit the fatherless is to make sure that they're okay. Now, whenever these prophets of God came to visit the fatherless, to help them get out of their affliction was oil. Oil is what fed them during a famine. It was oil that purchased them out of their enslavement to the creditors. And in the same sense, it is oil, it is the Spirit of God that will bring you out of the bondage of being fatherless. It is the Spirit of God that will sustain you from being depraved and being starved. What it means to visit the fatherless is to bring oil. Now, let me go deeper on this. The word "fatherless" in the Greek is orphanos. It literally means, it's where we get the word for orphan. Now, the only other time this word is used in the Bible is found in John chapter 14. Go to John chapter 14, look at verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be," he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That word "comfortless" is orphanos. He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, but I'm going to give you a spirit, an oil, that is going to visit you in your affliction. He said, I will send the Spirit of the Father to you that will bring you oil, that will pay off your debt of sin. I will send the Spirit of the Father to you that will
gets you out of bondage to sin and enslavement. He wants you to visit the fatherless. And the way that you visit the fatherless is you've got to bring the Spirit of God. You've got to bring oil that will help you through the famine, help you through the affliction. Just like the fatherless and widow in Zarephath, and the widow whose sons were going to become slaves, were comforted and rescued in their affliction from the oil, God now sends the oil of His Spirit to visit those of you who are fatherless, those of you who've been abandoned, those of you who've been neglected, been abused, been forsaken. God sends the Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of oil, the Spirit of God to rescue you, to help you, to minister unto the fatherless.
Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'm almost done. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the Old Testament, it was just oil, and all the oil did was provide food in the midst of a famine. The oil gave enough money to pay off the debt. But in the New Testament, the oil, it gives you a spirit. It gives you a right to become a son of God. That gives you a right to cry out to your Father. And not only are you getting just oil or just getting something to sustain you, but now you're getting a relationship. You get right and privilege when you're being adopted into the kingdom of God. The only way that we can combat the spirit of fatherlessness and abandonment is that we have to have the spirit of adoption. God wants to graft you in. He wants to adopt you and bring you into His family. I believe the Bible says in Psalms 27 verse 10 that when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When there's no one else there, I need the spirit of adoption. I've been abandoned. I'm an orphan. But God said, I will not leave you orphanos. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send my spirit that will adopt you into my family, that will give you the rights and the privileges as a son, that gives you right to inheritance, that gives you rights to relationship, that gives you right to deliverance. I will not leave you comfortless. I send unto you the spirit of adoption.
I close with this last example. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. I'm closing with this. To give an example of the spirit of adoption. That's what the church needs. If you don't have God as your father, you are an orphan. You are phanos. You're comfortless. That's why people are killing themselves and why people are going crazy, because they have no comfort. They have no father to help them, to console them in the midst of their situations. They have no father to disciple them, to chastise them, to correct them, to lead them into the ways of everlasting life. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. To give you some context here, that Saul has just been killed in a battle with the Philistines, and so has his son Jonathan. Jonathan had a son by the name of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is a very interesting character, and I believe he's going to illustrate what the spirit of adoption is like. 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. The Bible says that Mephibosheth was an orphan. His father died in battle. And as someone was trying to pick him up, he got dropped, and his situation was made even worse. And maybe there have been some of you that you do not have a father, and maybe someone came along to help you, or you tried to get involved with the gang, or tried to get in someone to pick yourself up, but all they did was drop you and made you lame and incapacitated, and you can't cope with life, and you can't deal with life. Mephibosheth was a cripple, unable to provide for himself, unable to sustain himself, and was on the run because he thought that he might be killed because a new king was coming town. But the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that King David was good friends with his father Jonathan, and said, I want to show kindness unto the son of my friend. 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as am I? And here's the example of the spirit of adoption, that we were lame and crippled, helpless and hopeless, unable to sustain ourselves. We had been disenfranchised from our inheritance, unable to even lift our head up, ashamed, rejected, and abandoned. And when we came to the master, we said, who am I that you would look on such a dead dog as me? And God said, I want to adopt you. I send you the spirit of adoption, and I want to restore unto you all that was taken from you. I want to give you a joy that's unspeakable and a full of glory. I want to give you a peace that passes all understanding. And I come to give you inheritance through the spirit of adoption. Verse 9 in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always. Notice this. He keeps saying he's going to eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He's going to eat at my table. He was rejected and disenfranchised, was a cripple, couldn't even provide for himself. And now he's eating from the best table in the land. Let me tell you something. When you're sitting at the king's table, when Mephibosheth was sitting at the king's table, all we could see is his upper body. We couldn't see his feet that were lame. When you sit at God's table, God does not see your mistakes. God does not see your failures. God does not see your sins. He only sees what's above and says, you're my son and you're allowed to eat at my table. It's the spirit of adoption. If you are not part of this family, the family of faith, the household of faith, I offered you this opportunity to get the spirit of adoption. We can have an adoption ceremony today where you can be grafted in, and your last name shall no longer be called wretch. Your last name shall no longer be called victim. Your last name shall no longer be called hated or rejected. Your last name shall no longer be called fornicator, cheater, liar, stealer. Your last name shall no longer be called a sinner. But your last name shall be called righteous. Your last name shall be called holy. Your last name shall be called forgiven, saved, sanctified, blood washed. Your last name will be a part of the greatest name in all eternity, the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the spirit of adoption. The only way we're going to deal with the fatherlessness in this nation is with the spirit of adoption. And that's what you can see, the spirit of Antichrist coming, because with all these fatherless children, all we see is abortion. Their answer is to kill them. When a child is conceived, it's not valued, it has no dignity, it's just exterminated. That is nothing but Satan from the pit of hell. No, God has not come to exterminate you. He does not want to abort you because you're the less desirable. Instead, he wants to adopt you. He wants to clean you up. He wants to claim you as his own. He wants to wash you by his blood. You need the spirit of adoption today to visit the fatherless in their affliction is to give them oil. Because if you have oil, then you can make a meal. If you have oil, you can make money. If you have oil, you have sustenance even in the most adverse circumstances. That widow got her sons rescued from slavery because of the oil. There was a vessel of oil that was there. God likes to visit the fatherless. I believe it's in Luke 7. I'm trying to quit. There was a widow who lived in a city called Nain. And her son had died. Her son was fatherless. But there came a vessel that was full of oil one day and stopped the funeral procession. And he poured out his oil on that coffin. And because of that oil, that fatherless dead son came back to life. When God visits the fatherless, he brings oil. If you're fatherless today, God is bringing oil today to you to feed you in the midst of your famine and your starvation, to purchase you out of the bondage of sin and addiction. But in order to get that, you have to have a spirit of adoption. You need to cry out to the Father. Say, Abba, Father, I need you. Claim me as one of your sons. Let's stand. We need the spirit of adoption. God wants to be a part of his family. There are so many fatherless children that are out there. And the enemy has done everything he can to devalue the importance of fathers. I was telling the class, the Sunday school class earlier, that compared to Mother's Day gets about $24 billion worth of gifts. Fathers get around 14. Yeah, brother. Yeah, that's right. It's sad. No respect. No. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, the mother, she did this whole, you know, carrying a kid for 9 months thing and pushing a human body through herself. So we can give them that, you know. But the thing is, the father, the idea of the father has been so diminished that the idea that we don't need a father, it's been diminished all the more with this idea of role reversal and equality. A woman's just as good as a man, and the man's just as good as a woman. We don't need a father. We don't need a man to be a man. A woman can be a man. She can do everything a man can. We don't need no man. They've been diminished. And because of that, we have fatherless children. When the father's duty is to protect his child, the father's duty is to show love and give gifts unto his children, to leave an inheritance unto them. The father's duty is to correct and to discipline, to admonish, to educate, to train and to raise, to show them how to become a productive member of society. You will never amount to the fullness of what you're supposed to be until you receive the spirit of adoption. God wants to bring you into his family. When you're adopting the family, you get all the rights and privileges of that family. And God wants to adopt you to give you an inheritance. That inheritance is eternal life. Will you allow him to adopt you today? Will you allow him? I know, Mephibosheth, you've been dropped. I know you've been disappointed in life. But now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, I have a father who will carry me. The Bible says that no man can pluck me out of my father's hand. God will not drop you. God will not disappoint you. He will not let you go. He will love you unto the end and beyond if you allow him, if you would receive the spirit of adoption. And when you're in trouble and when you're in travail, you can call out to your father and he'll be there. He said, I will not leave you orphanos. I will not leave you comfortless. An orphan is someone that's without comfort, which means the reverse, that a child that has their father has a source of comfort. Do you want to be comforted today? You need to receive the comforter. I implore you today to come and to receive the spirit of adoption. These altars are open. We want to give you the opportunity on this Father's Day. And then as you get adopted, you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different because now you have privileges. The Word of God says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God loves you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. But I love you with an everlasting love. He's not like other fathers. He's not a deadbeat. If anything, he purchased you. He paid quite a high price. You want to talk about alimony? You want to talk about child support? Jesus paid the ultimate child support at the cross. He paid the ultimate price to adopt you into his family if you would let him. Let the spirit of adoption come. Let him hold you. Let him console you. Let him disciple you. Let him love you today. God bless you. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor.